Hang on.
Sorry.
Mm. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. In a moment, we're going to read verses 23 through the end of the chapter. This is going to be a little different style of message than I would normally preach, but I feel it appropriate at our nation's 241st birthday. Amen. Brother Fred, that's even older than you. By 2 years. I was thinking by one, but I didn't realize it was two whole years. But we're going to come to this passage in a minute, but I want to talk to you before we read. I want to give you a little background of why I chose this passage, and I think it will help you. On June 11th, 1776, a group of about 56 men met in Philadelphia for what we call the first Congress meeting, so to speak. It wasn't the first official Congress meeting, but a group of men gathered and said, look, we're done. We've got to do something about the tyranny of England. We've got to pull out. We've got to declare independence and start our own country. Those men gathered in Philadelphia in Independence Hall that day on June 11th, 1776. They got on their knees before God and began to pray. But before they did, they read Psalm 22, verses 23 through 31. Then they got on their faces before God and began to pray. We're going to read this, and then I will continue from there. Verse 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. By the way, Americans were being afflicted by England at this time. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Watch this. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth, that's Baptist for sure, shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Those men, realizing we were about to pull out of England and become a nation of our own people, declare our independence from England, starting a new nation. They got on their faces before God and prayed for hours after reading this passage, begging God to help be the governor of our nation. We then fast forward about 5 or 6 weeks at most. July 4th, actually not even, a little over 3 weeks. July 4th, 1776. They met again. And for 3 weeks, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison worked together on a document that we now call the Declaration of Independence. We were breaking from the tyranny of England and King George. Our forefathers wanted a nation where we were free to make a good living, own land, have the freedom to worship God, and not be told by the government how to do all of these things. That's why America was established. Not necessarily the founding of North America by England, but the actual founding of America. Sad thing. They believed it so much, they were willing to fight and give their blood for it. They were willing to die for your freedom and mine, realizing they would never see it. They were willing to die to preserve our freedom. These weren't crazy zealots. These weren't wild and crazy farmers that didn't own anything, didn't know anything, just a bunch of, please pardon me, I know where I'm at in the country, not just a bunch of rednecks ready to go out and stir up some trouble. They weren't the tattoo people, amen? These were men that were committed to a cause. They believed that their sacrifice and fight would bring freedom to generations to come, but they themselves did not expect to see those freedoms. Let me ask you a question. They were willing to give their life and their blood for freedom they wouldn't see. How come we won't fight for the freedom we do have? They were willing to pay the price to get it. These men were men of prayer and men of faith and men of God. Thomas Jefferson began to write this Declaration of Independence from England. He and James Madison spent 17 days writing and rewriting and working and forming the document that we now call the Declaration of Independence. The meeting was officially called to order again July 4th, 1776, to bring forth a new nation. We were called and calling ourselves the United States of America. They were willing to spend their money, their honor, and give their life for it. These weren't poor people. 56 men met to sign, 30 of them were lawyers. That's a far cry from what lawyers would do today. There were 11 that were farmers, and farmers in those days were considered the upper level of people and the educated. There was a varied amount of other folks involved in that, but 41 of the people of the 56 were either lawyers or farmers. Let me say this. 30 of those men died within 12 months of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. They were hunted down, murdered. Their families were butchered, many of them. Some of them watched their families torn to shreds in their own presence before they killed them. 30 of those 56 men died before the first 12 months after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It was a document of hope. America was built as a country of hope. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To this day, we're called the land of hope and freedom. We are known around the world for our hope. And yet, realize that less than 1% of the Americans alive today have ever read the Declaration of Independence. How sad. How sad. We have a wonderful country. Yes. America is a wonderful country. Absolutely. Thank God we live in America. And I've been in some foreign places. I've dealt with missionaries all around the world. I've dealt with foreign governments and things with missionaries. May I say this, America on her worst day is better than most countries on their best day. I know that America is not directly mentioned in the Bible. You're not going to see the words United States of America or are necessarily our country mentioned by name in the Bible. But God has given us specific principles by which a nation, any nation, can live and have prosperity, have hope, have peace, and not necessarily no war, but have peace amongst themselves. And I want to share that with you. Number one, God wants us to rejoice in the gladness of our nation. Turn to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, I want to show you some verses tonight. We're only going to turn to three places. I promise you, it's not a long sermon, but one that is moving to me. Psalm 106, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Can I tell you something? We ought to rejoice in the gladness of America. I still believe in standing to the national anthem. I still believe that we ought to enjoy God Bless America. I still think that we ought to remove our hats and in honor of our veterans and shake their hands and thank them for what they've done. By the way, I think we ought to rejoice in the freedom we have in America. Amen. I really believe that. I have been, God has blessed my wife and I in our ministry. I'm a nobody. I know that. But I have preached from Seattle, Washington to Miami, Florida, and from down in Mexico and San Diego, California, all the way up to the tip of Maine. I've preached in, I think, 32 different states. I'll be preaching in another state this fall. I've been all over. What an amazing place we have in America. The Rocky Mountain, Brother Stoltz just got back from a trip out west, and Courtney hadn't been out of this tri-state area ever. I don't think he's been past Morgantown in his life. Boy, did he get an education. He saw what a real mountain was. Out through the Yellowstone and the Rockies and out in Montana and Glacier National Park and going up the coast there and into Oregon and Washington State and back and Mount Rushmore. That's one I haven't seen yet. I'm going to before I die, hopefully. If not, I'll see it during the millennium. Amen. But I've seen it all. We have a wonderful country. We live in a wonderful place. And America is not all she used to be. America is not all she could be, but she's still the greatest nation on earth. Amen. Let me say that again. She might not be all she used to be. She's not all she should be, but she's still the greatest place on earth. Yes. We still have our freedom. And by the way, we better keep exercising that freedom before we lose them. We still can go soul winning, and it's not against the law. Yes. My dad knows this is true. My mom's not here, so I can say it. I was 13 years old and went to Mexico on a missions trip. And at that time, in 1980, the communists were trying to take over Mexico. I've been in places where the black banded soldiers were there with automatic machine guns and the hammer and sickle all over town. This is no lie. They didn't tell our parents, and I was glad they didn't, because my mom probably wouldn't have let me go. My dad would have, but my mom wouldn't. It was illegal to take Bibles and things into Mexico. We had 2 tons of Bibles stored in a false bottom of that bus. And I was sitting on a printing press to print Bibles in Mexico with a box over it. And the soldiers came on the bus looking at everything. They didn't ask me to stand up. I didn't stand up. I could have been rotten in jail still. Say, what was you doing? We were smuggling it in so we could get the gospel all over Mexico. Whether it was right, whether it was wrong, it's what we did. I'm not telling you that I suggest smuggling it, but I will say this. We got it in there and a whole lot of people got saved. A whole lot of people got a copy of the Bible.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about it being against the law to go soul winning. About a year and a half ago or so, my wife was knocking on doors, and I think Mrs. Barnes, and they met up with some cranky lady, and she called me and emailed me, and then I didn't know it, but a little while later, somebody went back there and didn't realize somebody had knocked on that door. And the very next week, somebody knocked on that lady's door, and she threatened our church and me with a trespass warrant, everything else. So I went to the Martinsburg Police Department and I showed them the information I had. And the guy said, "What is she? Some devil worshiper or something?" And I said, "I don't know, but I need to know what to do." I said, "I really don't want to go talk to the lady, because then I'm going to have a confrontation unless I take somebody with me, and I need your advice." He said, let me fill out a report. And if we get a report, he said, but Pastor, just so you know, she can't do anything. You're just soul winning. He said, you're just giving information. He said, are you collecting money? I said, no, sir. He said, it's not trespassing. He said, you know as well as I do, you've been at this long enough. You know it's not against the law. I said, I know, but I really don't want to cause a lot of conflict. He said, well, maybe if you publish in your church bulletin or announce her address. I said, do you really think I should post somebody's address in my church? He said, yeah, that's not as wise as I thought it was when I was thinking that. I said, I don't think that's right. He said, no, that's not right. He said, let me just fill out a report. And if she contacts us, then you've been the first one here, not her. And that's to your benefit. Don't you worry, Pastor. You just keep doing what you're doing. It's all right. He said, if we had more people like your church out there, we'd have less trouble for my men and my ladies. I said, I agree with that. Thank God we still live in a land where it's not against the law to go soul winning. I was in Bible college. And when our church was running 20, 25,000 folks in church, we'd have, on an average week, we'd probably have 4,000 people, 5,000 people out soul winning all over the Chicago area. We were in, there was a couple guys that got taken to jail. Brother Hiles bailed them out, and the head of the police department, chief of police, called Brother Hiles and said, look, if your people are here, I'm going to arrest them every time. He said, good, you be there at 10 o'clock Saturday morning. He said, I'm having 2,000 people show up in your town. You put them all in jail. He said, just be careful, Pastor. and we sent a ton of people over there. They didn't put anybody in jail ever since. You say, what is that? Because we have a land of freedom. Yes. Thank God we have our freedom. We still have elections, even though they try to change it with the press and everything else. Can I tell you something? I believe in our right to vote, and we should vote. Local as well as national. We ought to take part in it, and we ought to do our part. We could still choose to go where we want to go. Yes. You know, if you want to go to vacation and you want to go to Oregon and back, you can choose to do that. Man. If you want to go to Minnesota, God bless you, that's not a vacation. That's the first 3.5 years of tribulation. If you want to go somewhere, you can go. If you want to go to Hagerstown, you can. You don't have to show your ID to change borders from one state to another. We're one country. Amen. It's not like Europe or Africa. Oh, my soul. Or any other country around the world. We still can have church and fellowship with God's people and not be in fear. There are places right now all over the world where people are meeting secretly just to have church and risk of losing their life. I know missionaries who are over in the Middle East who have had their families taken away from them and murdered just for being missionaries. And it's sad. We don't have that fear here. So God wants us to rejoice in the gladness of our nation. I think you ought to be happy that America's got another birthday under her belt. Amen. Think we ought to be proud Americans in that sense. I'm not talking a sinful pride, but rejoice in the gladness of our nation. Rejoice that unemployment's coming down and our president's bringing jobs to our country. Amen. And we're putting people to work. Can I tell you why people are protesting? Because they like their welfare check. They don't want work boots. They don't want to trade their welfare check for a work boot. Well, it's coming. They better learn how to work. Number two, we're Christians. We Christians are the hope of America. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse number 34. I'm going to make some difficult statements here in a moment, but I want to help us. Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let me say that again. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I want you to notice something. God says that righteousness builds up, lifts up a nation. When America still believed that God was what our country and the Bible is what our country was founded upon, we had respect around the world. since we've taken God out of the equation, look what's happened in America. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach. Now, everybody listen to this statement. The problem today is not how loud the bad are, it's how quiet the good are. The problem today is not in D.C., it's in the church house. Yes. It's everybody sitting on their blessed assurance doing nothing with the Word of God to bring righteousness to the people. By the way, that righteousness there is dealing with not just living right, but taking righteousness to people so that they can get saved. Yes. Churches have quit soul winning. Churches have quit preaching right doctrine. And Christian people have quit living right. Well, I just don't see it that way, preacher. You got your way and I've got my way. As Brother June said in Sunday school, the Bible is of no private interpretation.
Yes, sir.
It's the same for everybody.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
The problem today is not how loud the bad is, it's how quiet the good is. You realize that less than one-tenth of 1% of America are sodomites? 1/10 of 1%. And yet, they have the loudest voice. Can I tell you why? Because Christians are cowering. Soul winning is the hope of America. The word righteous means rightness, justice. It means to clean or to clear with no evidence, as in a forensic sense. Let me bring it down to country terms. Clean as a hound's tooth. We're supposed to be clean. We're supposed to live right. It's time we tighten up standards, not drop our standards. Time we get back to the old-fashioned way, not go the contemporary way. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I'm not against technology. But I saw a news interview on Fox of a Southern Baptist pastor who's talking about his electronic church to where they have almost 500,000 viewers weekly in his electronic church. God have mercy. That's not church.
That's right.
I hate to disappoint him. Now, I'm for anybody getting the gospel out any way they can, but quit calling a computer screen church.
That's right. Amen.
Sorry. Bible says, forsake not yourselves the assembling together as the manner of some is. That's the church house.
Amen.
It's time we tighten up our standards, not start backing off.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I got to hurry because I promised to let you out early. Number 3, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 33. Said number 1, God wants us to rejoice in the gladness of our nation. Number 2, we Christians are the hope of our nation. And number 3, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 33, look at verse number 12. I love this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Realize that America was blessed when God was Lord and not God being the enemy. Everybody listen to me very carefully. I am not against people coming to the United States, emigrating here legally.
Yes, amen.
But we've had something in place about immigration for about 200 years. If we go back to the Constitution and do what it says, we don't have to worry about new laws. By the way, the Supreme Court this week just upheld in a unanimous decision the president's decision for the travel ban.
Yes.
Amen.
With one minor exception to it. And by the way, the travel ban was only for 90 days. You say, yeah, but they're going to debate it when they come back. The 90-day travel ban will be over by the time they get to it. They had to support it 100% because it was 100% constitutional. The problem today is this. We're afraid to speak up that we're Christians. I'm not afraid of being... Ooh, there's a pizza for me. Now she can't kill the thing. Turn off! That's funny. I'm sorry. Can I say this? America was blessed when America was founded on God as our creator. Can I tell you something? Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and the men that signed the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, I realize those are two different documents. Do you realize every one of those called God, God, the creator and deity? They didn't talk about evolution. That's it. They talked about creator, capital C, because there was no other bad, evil doctrine of evolution around. Well, we've come to the intelligence that our forefathers did not have. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but Thomas Jefferson said any government big enough to give you everything you want is powerful enough to take everything you have away.
That's right. Amen.
They knew in that those founding documents, one of the most wonderful documents ever written in world history is the Declaration of Independence. It is an amazing document. The only hope America has is for us to hold the truth and get the truth out. When we kicked God out of our country began a moral decline. It was in the early 1960s that the Bible was kicked out of the public school system. Huh. When did the hippies come on the scene? When did the draft dodgers like Bill Clinton come on the scene? Oh, I'm sorry. And her husband, Hillary. They were a result of kicking God out of the school system. Our school system was bringing in communists to teach on our college campuses. Fidel Castro came in and taught in our public colleges. Other national socialist leaders came and taught on our campuses, spreading socialism. That's where Bernie Sanders was fostered. You know that on, I don't mean to be unkind, but I didn't mean to be before and was anyway, so it doesn't matter. But the leading political view on public campuses in America today is socialism. They are teaching capitalism does not work. Capitalism is bad, socialism is good. FDR came out with welfare because he said we have no true equality until we have economic equality. That is socialism. Franklin Roosevelt was the proprietor of socialism in America. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
He's the one that changed the curriculum in the public schools. He's the one that allowed evolution to be brought in. He's the one that brought in the social programs to keep people dependent on the government. He didn't get us out of the Depression. He prolonged it. And had the Japanese not bombed us at Pearl Harbor, we wouldn't have gotten involved in World War II. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. We need not only for God to bless America, but we need America to bless God.
Amen.
I hear Brother Roloff in my head. He was reading in Scripture, and it says, where's the Lord God of Elijah? Where's the Lord God of Elijah? And he would say, where's the Elijah of the Lord God? America, God bless America. Great song, but how about America? Let's bless God. Let's get back to honoring God. Let's not let people take God's name in vain. Let's stand up for Jehovah God. We need to quit tolerating sin, but tolerate sinners. I have a whole sermon I almost preach. You know, the world, the liberals, and the evil doctrines of Islam and others count on Christians tolerating sin, not tolerating sinners. We're not supposed to be tolerant of sin. We're supposed to be tolerant of sinners. I'm not supposed to say if somebody's out shacking up that, oh, it's okay, that's the lifestyle you've chosen. No, it's still shacking up.
Right.
We're not supposed to say that it's okay for young people to fornicate and say everything's all right. It's still wrong. It's wrong for adults to fornicate.
Yes.
It's wrong for anybody to do those things. It's still wrong. Everybody doing all right? I'm okay.
Preach.
Can I tell you something? Sodomy is still wrong. We can love the sodomite, but we don't have to love the sodomy.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You say, well, preacher, what would you do? Win them to Christ.
Amen.
I've won a few. They're hard to win, but they do get saved just like anybody else. That's the only hope they have of change. Doesn't mean I say, well, their sin's okay. It's a lifestyle you choose. It doesn't mean you choose which bathroom you go to. You decide what gender you are. I hate to disappoint you folks, but your DNA proves what your gender is. Your blood tells you what your gender is. I don't care what your brain tells you it is. Your body tells you what it is. When you're hatched, the doctor doesn't say, to be determined at a later time. There's telltale signs of what it is. All right? I'm not going any farther. If you need help, go see my dad. I was trying to get out of that one, Brother Mike, and the hole was getting deep. I had to reach for something. Now, wait a minute. We need to quit tolerating sin. Do you know that the liberals count on Christians tolerating sin to propagate their wrong? You know that Islam's counting on the Christian nations to tolerate them so that they can infiltrate our country and destroy our nation? It's what they did in Europe.
Right.
Open borders, allow them in. Don't vet them, just let them in. No, we need to protect our borders.
Right. Yes, sir.
The devil is evil, and evil now expects America to tolerate sin as though it's, and those that don't are intolerant. Yeah, we're supposed to be intolerant of sin.
Right.
We're supposed to get upset at the alcohol business.
Right.
We're supposed to get upset at the tobacco industry. I was thinking smoking industry, but that wasn't coming out right. The tobacco industry, it's still wrong. It's still sin. We ought to be the ones that are against all the girly nightclubs and all the filth that goes on and the prostitution. We're supposed to be against the sin, but tolerate the sinner so they can get saved.
Yeah.
We're to hate and be against sin as we love the sinner enough to give them the gospel to get them rescued out of that mess. Everybody understand? We're not supposed to be tolerant of sin. As your children grow up, you're not supposed to tolerate their sin. You're supposed to tolerate them. Teach them that their sin is wrong, whether they do it or not. That's what it says. I'm done. July 4th, 1826. 50 years later. 50 years after we declared our independence. Within 3 hours of each other, James Madison and Thomas Jefferson died. They were the last of the two signers of the Declaration of Independence to die. They both died on the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Both had become president of our country. They were the only two to receive honor that signed the Declaration of Independence. America is not all she could be. She's not all she once was, but she still has hope. She still has freedom. She's still the greatest nation on earth. Thank God I'm an American. Thank God we live in America. And I say, let's get back to our founding principles. Let's declare righteousness. Let's live right. Let's teach right. Let's preach right. Let's take the gospel right and get more people right so we can do more right and continue this nation a little longer.
Amen.
Don't believe we're going down yet. But can I say something? I'm going to save everyone I can on the way down. She's still the greatest land on earth. 241 years ago, they paid a price for us to have our freedom. They gave their lives for freedom they would never see themselves. Only two of the 56 signers saw that freedom. What are we doing with it? America, Grace Baptist Church, we have a little chunk of America. We may not save the whole nation, but we can chunk out Berkeley and Jefferson County and do our part. If we'll do our part, we can get others to get involved and do their part in their part. We can do what we can to help our nation and our area. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A little different sermon, I know. But what are you willing to pay for your freedom? Willing to go out and tell others about Jesus? Willing to live righteously